This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
When you get a cancer diagnosis, your world stops. But not Fox Chase Cancer Center. When the science moves quickly, we move quicker. Because cancer is all we do. From the molecular level to the human level, we stay focused on your unique cancer. Not just following the science, but discovering new paths forward. Giving you a head start on better outcomes. Learn more at foxchase.org/where you start, because where you start matters.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The 8-9 game in Raleigh. The two-time defending national champs, UConn, leading the country in blocks per game, and they will face Oklahoma, who went 13-0 in non-conference play.
Yeah, and including winning the battle for Atlantis. That was the team that was supposedly on the bubble. How about a number 9 seed for the Sooners? SEC, SEC, SEC.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. Ah, what a delight. Always fun to talk to Porter Moser. We have taken him in our bracket. We're getting the three-peat out immediately.
Yeah. Go away, UConn.
And he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Porter, good morning. How are you?
Man, boys, Molly and David, good to hear from you guys. And you're the only media people in the country that picked the Sooners, first of all.
Looking like that.
I love the loyalty. I love the loyalty.
Well, we'll always be loyal to you because we were both there at the Final Four. We talked about it this morning. Always think about that this time of year, Porter. What a great, wonderful thing that happened with you taking the Ramblers to the Final Four. Thanks again for that. And things going well in Oklahoma. It was touch and go there. You took care of Georgia. Watched that game. Felt like I was boiling water and, you know, getting ready for any kind of emergency surgery needed. You got it done. You get into the tournament, and now you're rewarded by facing one of the team that has been the team to beat the last couple years, and obviously not since John Wooden have we seen a three-peat. So. I'm sure you're fired up. I'm sure you got them prepared.
Well, Molly, first of all, that thanks for saying about the Loyola. That was so fun with the city of Chicago. That'll be a memory that I'll just that whole 4 or 5 year stretch.
Yeah,
because the city of Chicago is such a great sports town. But this team right here, I don't know if I've ever had a team that's had to be more resilient than this team. You know, we start out 13-0. We got a dynamic young Chicago kid in Jeremiah Fears, who reclassified up, and we got off to a great start, and then we hit a complete buzzsaw in the SEC, and we just kept on. We lost like 4 games at the buzzer, and every game seemed to be coming down to it, and we fought through hard. And that's the life lesson I keep talking to this team about, is fighting through hard. And we had to fight through hard and come together and really rally. We beat number 15 Missouri. We had to go to Texas and win at Texas in a rivalry game and then in the SEC tournament. So it's been a grind, but this team has been resilient of bouncing back.
How did you build that belief, Porter, that I think became – so easy to understand here for people that remember how you coached Loyola to the Final Four and then did it again and went back to the tournament, because you started 13-0, you went through some tough times, and you know what? I feel like and you can speak to it better than we can. From the outside looking in, there was a sense of urgency for you to do what you just did 365 days ago, I think, or a year ago when you got, you know, kind of on the bubble and did not get in. That increased the pressure that you faced going into this season. How did you handle that and get them to believe that this was possible?
David, first of all, great question, because it's strictly my foundation of faith. 365 days ago might have been one of the worst days of my professional career. You know, we were clearly in almost like a 10 line, and there was five bids deals that day. Five tournaments went to a bids deal. This year there was zero. 2 years ago there was zero. Last year five. And to sit there, go from like you're clearly in to all of a sudden you're the last one out was devastating. But this whole process of the year of your faith, of just staying true to, like, there's a plan. God's got a plan. There's a, and just that has been my foundation of getting through it. In terms of this team, and I've always believed that leadership is a transfer of belief, and that's been a foundation of me, of creating a vision, and we did that at Loyola, and that's what, I swear to God, our guys probably thought I was Groundhog Day, Bill Murray hitting the alarm clock every morning, because every day in the locker room, I'm like, you guys, there's a path. There is a path. We get beat on the last second shot. It was just devastating. There's a path. We got to believe. And I just think it's a leadership's a transfer of belief and creating a vision. And to these guys' credit, I mean, no matter what the distractions were or outside noise, every day our practices were like resilient, coming through, high energy. And that starts with our coaching staff every day, bringing it and creating that vision of belief that we're going to fight through hard.
I'm curious, what was it like coming into the SEC? And did you have any idea how good this conference was going to be? 14 teams in the NCAA tournament. It is, you know, we're talking about it. They made a real effort to make sure that all the SEC teams aren't playing each other immediately. So it's the whole tournament. I mean, the domination of the conference this year is pretty extraordinary.
It's been unbelievable. But I will say this. I'm like the good luck charm. My first 3 years here, the Big 12 was ranked number one. It's been a monster. But this offseason, we just kind of saw it with the SEC, with the way the NIL and the portal is. And we just saw the, you know, the rosters being created, and everyone was just scratching their head that kind of knew what was coming. But when you got into it, it's just, and that's the thing that I had to really keep the guys on track with, because you lose three or four in a row, and you just got to keep believing. But those three or four in a row might be at Florida, at Alabama, at Auburn, at Missouri. Like, we did all those. And not a lot of people would come out of that thing alive. And that's something. But this SEC, it's been all 4 years I've been in Oklahoma, we've been in the number one basketball conference, three in the Big 12, and this year in the SEC. But the length, athleticism, for those people that are doing brackets, you're going to see some teams out there that is just really, really poised that can make a deep run.
You mentioned the job that Jeremiah Fears has done for you this year. He comes from Joliet Westy, so you know this area very well, Porter. But you also, I think, was important, and you can talk about this a little bit. Retaining your own guys is such a vital thing that coaches have to do nowadays. And Jalen Moore was somebody that was thinking about going pro, and he worked out. Didn't he try out for a couple of these camps? And then he finally decided to come back to make a run. And he wanted to make a run to experience what you're going through this week. He wanted to get to the tournament. And that was when you knew that this was going to be something that you could attain this year, because he was coming back. You knew what the recruiting class was going to look like, and it was all going to come together.
Well, the retention is everything I've been about. Like, you know, at Loyola, almost every single year, we took a transfer, sat him out, like he had to sit out, and we developed him. Going back from Milton Doyle to Clayton Custer, to Marcus Towns, to Tate Hall, to Braden Norris. Every one of those guys were transfers. Here, Ugwak. Every one sat out, and all of them became All-League or Player of the Year. And now it's the reality of you don't have that. So retention now also has to do with NIL. The two of the best transfers in the country right now were starters for me my freshman and sophomore year. Otega Uwe at Kentucky and Milo Zuzan at Houston. It's just the retention of NIL now becomes paramount. And so one of the things, Jalen Moore went to put his name in the draft. He was down training in Miami. And those other two kids, the guys transferred, announced they went in the portal. And I went down and took Jalen to eat. We sat there. And he's like, "Coach, I'm in. I'm coming back. But we got to, we got to get to the tournament." I'm like, "Trust me. I know you're a key part of this. Showed the vision." And then we got some key pieces in recruiting this young freshman, Jeremiah. You know, we didn't know we were going to have him until August. And when he decided to reclass, we went all in. And he was a 17-year-old. But his growth this year has been unbelievable. He's so positionally sized, 6'4 point guard. He's dynamic. But still, you're going into the SEC with the young man that got on campus at 17. And that also in alone is a huge story, because all the SEC point guards seem to be fourth and fifth year seniors. And but the group in a whole has really been resilient, fighting through this thing and this monster of a league. And we're ready to go, man. We are ready to go compete in this tournament.
Yeah, I love it. Porter, when you think about the changes that you've seen as a head coach, and I'm saying, you know, as we all know, there have been a lot of big-time coaches who have walked away because it's just turned into a different job. You know, I talked to a professional coach who used to coach in college, and he said he talks to everybody, and they tell him it's a different league. Everything you're doing is different than it was before. How have you managed to make that transition? How difficult has that part of it been?
It's really difficult because you have to have NIL money. Like old school recruiting, I'm still about my non-negotiables of character, toughness, skill, all those things, winning, getting winners. Those are all still paramount in what I recruit. But at the end of the day, you have to have NIL money at this level. You have to. And I tell you what, it trickles down at all levels. At all levels, because everything trickles down. And everybody, there's just no question. There's a reason why the Montreal Expos folded, you know, and the Yankees and the Red Sox are killing it. You know, you just have to, you just have to have it. And it's you have to adjust to it. You've got to get ahead of the curve with your university and the business model. But it's paramount, and it's completely different. For the 28 years I did before this, the last 4 years, it was completely different than it is now. But it doesn't mean it doesn't have to be great. I still absolutely, the time spent with these guys, I still do it for the right reasons, to impact young guys, to compete and get them to a certain level. Those reasons haven't changed for me. It's just how I get there with this NIL is just completely different.
Porter, we're not surprised at all to hear you fighting a little bit of laryngitis this week, probably doing a lot of talking after a really long season. And just curious.
This has been like this since January.
Exactly. Nobody's shocked there either. Personally, how have you handled this year and just being the coach at Oklahoma? Because you've gone from, let's face it, after losing to LSU, you were probably a little bit on the hot seat. And now you're again in a familiar territory as maybe a hot candidate, if you pay attention to some reports. Yeah. So how do you handle the ups and downs, and how has that been in Norman, away from Chicago, away from maybe the comfort zone of your hometown, and handling things as a head coach at Oklahoma?
Family and faith, my brothers. Family and faith. You know, the people that, you know, I always had someone told me when I was younger, you know, don't listen to somebody who you wouldn't ask advice from. There's so many noises in this day and age with social media and everything. So don't listen to any noise that you wouldn't ask their advice from. And for me, my faith, you know, every day is the foundation. My family, that's what matters. And that's what, you know, just realizing God's got a plan for you and stick true to who you are. And I kept on saying, I remember after the LSU game, I was reflecting in morning quiet time. And I literally said, all right, the plan's going to be that our story is going to be of resiliency. Like, I don't know what just happened. We just blew that lead at the LSU game. I don't know what, but there's a reason and our storyline. And you have to have that kind of faith, self-talk to grind through some things. And then stay grounded. I've been through ups and downs in my whole career. And you just want to stay grounded and don't forget the reasons why you do it. My whole basis is of, you know, how you think is how you feel, your energy level. And that gets me through as a leader. But family and faith, no doubt about it.
You know, it's interesting because obviously when you start talking about different teams in the conference, a lot of it comes down to matchups and teams that you match up well with and teams you just don't match up with. That's just the reality of it. We know that Auburn is the number one seed in the tournament. We know that, what is their average age? They're like a professional team. They're not college kids. You know, they got a lot of age on them. Which team is the best in your conference? And a lot of people really are in love with Florida right now because guards going into the tournament. You obviously have the Auburn-Alabama thing. You got Tennessee is well thought of. You've got five or six teams that a lot of different people are picking to win the tournament. But was there one team that you think stands out? Is there one team that you didn't match up with as you did with others? What's your take on just the conference strength at the top?
Yeah, Molly, the conference strength at the top is daunting, and I really think there's you just hit them all. I just think Florida and Auburn, Alabama, Tennessee and Missouri, those schools are really poised, positionally sized. I mean, when you get up against Alabama, you're sitting there, you got an All-American point guard, and then you're like 6'11", 6'11", 6'9", at your 5'4" and 5'3".
Wow.
And then, you know, and then you see Auburn is the same thing. Johnny Broome, first team All-American, big man. They're 6'11", 6'10", 6'8", 6'7". The positional size and athleticism in the SEC is different, but those schools. But I got to share a story with you guys because you just mentioned the number one seed, and I just brought up Mullion Haw in an interview down here in Oklahoma because they were asking me about the 8-9 seed. And I'm like, man, last time I was an 8-9 seed, I got on the Score radio with these guys, and all they wanted to talk about was the second matchup between Illinois and yep. Loyola. And I'm like, man, I'm sitting here. I go, we got to play Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech just won the ACC tournament. And you guys baited me like a teenager trying to find out who you're taking to the prom. Hey, what do you guys think about the other? Do you remember you guys?
Yes. And you beat them.
Like, we've got to beat Georgia Tech before we get to Illinois. And because that 8-9 seed, because you know you got that one looming. And we just told the story. I'll never forget the pressure of everybody saw Illinois in that second line. You're like, man, Georgia Tech, we got to get Georgia Tech first.
And I said this morning, Porter, recalling that season, that was as good of a coaching job as you did when he took the team to the Final Four. That year was just as special as – not as special, you didn't go as far, but certainly it reflected just the kind of hold that you had and control you had over that team.
Well, it's players, man. We just – you got to have players. You got to have culture, character. We just – those guys, you know, special guys.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that stood out about that year, though, the first one, was the idea that every time you needed a shot, didn't matter if it was half court or if it was from 30 feet, it just went in. I mean, you hit so many buzzer beaters from so many different people. That was like, holy God, you want to talk about cardiac kids. That was extraordinary.
Isn't that funny how that works?
Yeah.
The shot goes in, you're a good coach.
Yep.
You're a genius.
You're a legend.
That's right. Out, man.
That's you're right. Exactly. Speaking of coaches, Porter, so have you coached against Danny Hurley before? And if you have, are those games a little bit louder than most?
The answer is no, I haven't. I've never played UConn in my career and haven't coached against Danny. But he's obviously intense and his team's reflective. They play so hard. And the thing when you watch UConn is they just have the most elite offensive movement. They never stop moving. They'll run three or four actions in one possession. And you saw last year they went through that tournament and they won every game by double digits. And you talk to everyone in the Big East, and they'll refer to it as, because they almost seem unguardable because their movement is so elite. So he does a great job, obviously, and he's intense, and his teams reflect it, and they play so hard and tough.
Yeah, they've had their run. I think we've decided it's over.
It's over. Yeah.
If you're looking, who do you like in that second round? No. See, now here I go again.
You guys couldn't help it, right?
You couldn't help it. So, Porter, before we let you go, though, got to know, be ask you a serious question. How do you feel about the Cubs starting 0-2?
We're okay.
Okay.
I mean, we face some tough pitchers but we're okay. I really love this. Obviously, I'm like this with the beginning of every year with all my teams, the Bears, the Bulls, and the Blackhawks, and the Cubbies. And the thing about it is, I really like this team. It's two games. It's over there. We face elite pitching. I can't wait to the portal season's over because once this regular season gets over, it's not like the old days. I got to go to portal season. And once that roster's set, man, I can't wait to be in Wrigley with everyone there in Wrigley shooting on our Cubbies.
Drew won yesterday night in San Jose, right? San Jose State. Mm-hmm. I taped the game. I couldn't stay up for it because I think it started at like 10 o'clock. But I will maybe peek in on it today. Good for him. The program is living pretty well. You did a great job of getting him up and running, and I know you guys are in touch, so it was good to see that for him.
We spoke in California tonight. We spoke all season, and I'm so fired up. I love watching that team. They're tough as nails, too, and I just it's tough to get opportunities and scheduling to get at-large bids. But, man, Drew has got – I mean, every time I watch him, I'm like, they're playing hard as heck, the right way. I mean, he's doing a phenomenal job, and it's so fun to see that Loyola program still take off.
Hey, we're going to be cheering for you. You know that. We are always eternally grateful for everything you did here in Chicago, as are all Chicagoans, at least those on the north side. All Chicagoans.
All over. Best of luck, Porter.
Yeah, great stuff.
Go Sooners.
Hey, great talking to you guys. Take care, man, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, that is Porter Moser. The hometown loves him. And now he's well-loved in Norman, too.
Again.
Yes. Let's see him get through. I mean, this is the problem, is if they do beat UConn, you know who they face.
Yeah.
Florida.
Tough matchup.
So they're going to
8:25 Friday night.
Blow up our brackets.
They will.
But
your bracket.
We'll be cheering for him anyway. Okay. Don't you have Florida
Oklahoma.
Losing to St. John's?
Florida losing to St. John's.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Go Florida. Go Oklahoma. What a great guy, good man, and great to talk to him. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the school.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
DuVernay will bring it out. Foul block from Hill. He's got a lead blocker on the way, chased by the kicker. Getting a block from Harrison. All the way he goes. 103 yards.
Ooh-wee. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. How about that? He's playing a little music associated with one Devin Hester.
Yes.
As we listen to a clip of Devin DuVernay.
Yeah.
And very, very clever there.
Do well with guy. Devin returning kicks and punts.
Yeah.
Now they will do it again.
Right. There you go. New Devin.
Devin DuVernay coming to the Bears on a one-year contract, two-time Pro Bowl return man. And the Bears continue to fill the holes on the roster. And this week it has been the bottom of the roster. No disrespect to the people who have been added, but Travis Homer, guys like Josh Blackwell, Tarvarius Moore aren't blockbuster names. Now, Devin DuVernay is a solid name across the NFL, but you know what I mean, Mully, that you need to have these questions answered so you can go into the draft not feeling like you need anything.
Yeah, that is a good point, David. I think they're still down a linebacker, right? So there are different guys out there. There's still things that you could do if you wanted to, or you can now.
Wait.
You've got sort of the comfort to be able to look at the draft. You know how I feel about it. I want to see them continue on the line of scrimmage. I think they need that in a draft. I saw your guy, Mel Kiper Jr. I know you and he are very tight. I saw that he had his 3.0. It was fascinating because he had three quarterbacks going in the first nine picks.
I got to tell you, if that happens, and the Bears should be doing cartwheels.
Well, no doubt about that. He also had, I believe, the Raiders at number six, taking none other than the running back Ashton Jeanty. In fact, I saw Jeanty going. A lot of mockers, are taking Jeanty to be gone by the time the Bears draft.
Cowboys or Raiders have been mocked to him,
so
and
that,
linked to him.
That is actually also good for the Bears because it just means that there will be a player or two that move down that maybe weren't thought of as being available at the number 10.
It's going to be a month full of fun speculation if it hasn't already begun, because you're right. When you fill the holes on your roster as efficiently as the Bears really have during free agency and now the second and third wave of free agency, it allows you that luxury of going into the draft without any necessarily pressing need. And when you have three picks of the top 41, you've got three guys who should be potentially talent-wise day one starters, capable of starting week one if you need them to. I don't think the Bears will be in a position like that, but you still have running back to address. As you said, you could never get too many linebackers, probably later in the draft.
Later.
But you probably could use another wide receiver and edge rusher, defensive tackle.
In fact, Mel had Michael Williams from Georgia. Here's a guy that was hurt a little bit at the beginning of the year, but is one of the real studs from Georgia, outside linebacker, really pass rusher. He had him going to the Bears at number 10, and that would be one heck of a pick. The guy is a real he's a real good edge guy, and that would just aid you coming in waves at teams.
It would
also make sense, just given the fact that a year ago you used your top two picks on offense. There is a school of thought out there that if you're using if you're picking offense one year, you need to pick defense the next year.
Yeah,
you need to, you know, first-round picks go on offense, you need to get
a
first-round pick on defense.
That's conventional wisdom.
Yes.
And is the school of thought. But there is a new principal in town.
Yeah, and he brought in a defensive coordinator he's got to take care of.
He does have to take care of him. But here's my tendency to look at the draft this way. You can still look at it as if there are three quarterbacks in the first nine and Genty is off the board, I would be very tempted to take one of the offensive tackles that drops to you because of that. If you have theoretically three offensive tackles in your top 15 players, then you've got, like, say, Will Campbell, Kelvin Banks, and Armon Membu from Missouri. If those are your top three, then either you could trade down and get an additional pick, or you could take one of those that fall to you. And I still think that you want to be able to be in a position where your offensive line just keeps on churning quality player after quality player.
That's
year after year.
You've got two second-round picks.
That's where you can supplement your offensive line or
really
both lines
help.
Of scrimmage.
Yes, I agree.
I guess the point is, if you're not enamored or infatuated with Ashton Genty and maybe Tyler Warren, you can make the argument. But stay close to the ball.
Yes,
offensive tackle, defensive tackle, or defensive end with those three picks in the top 41 choices, you're going to be in a position to really set yourself up to sustain success. That's what you want to do, and that's the way you want to enter every draft.
You know, I think we feel good about the moves they've made.
Mm-hmm.
But they did get some guys a little bit long in the tooth.
Exactly.
In other words, you know, the rookie quarterback contract is what you look at and how long you have on that. And, you know, by the time that is expiring, some of these guys won't be here anymore. So what you need to do is you need to have people in the room with them that can learn and can get better, and then you can hand off jobs to people as you go along. Maybe they even help you as rookies. Certainly there's nothing wrong with that, and then you have good experience and value behind these guys. But I would say there is nothing wrong with continuing to build the line of scrimmage. It is the philosophy you came into the offseason with, and keep it going. Get through the draft that way, and you will find players. And again, when you've got a class of running backs as good as this one, you'll be able to get a running back in the third round if you're so choosing.
You could get a receiver
later.
Yeah,
if that's what you want to do.
It could be a case of waiting until the second or third round for your running back, and it depends on who's available. But I think what we're talking about, and we've referenced this before, you know, look at the Eagles model. When they lose Jason Kelce, they replace him with Cam Jurgens because he's ready. You drafted him for that role, and the succession plan was really a good one.
They lost Jason Kelce. Did you notice? They
Not
won
really.
The Super Bowl after losing
They won
him.
The Super Bowl, and they kept on doing the tush push
the
like
tush
nobody
push
else.
Worked, which, by the way, is going to be
Did you see that? Packers revealed themselves.
Yeah, Packers have been
The
revealed.
Packers have been outed as the team that we
as
knew
the gutless,
they were.
The gutless evil.
They want to rid themselves and the league of the tush push because they cannot stop it.
Squirrely tools they are.
You would
are.
Think a team with Kenny
what
Clark.
What a terrible idea that is.
Which part?
To go out and say, we can't stop the play.
Yeah,
we want
it's
the NFL to say
it's a football play.
So you stop it.
It's a football play.
Let me ask you something, Dustin. What did you think of the Lions being the team that said, hey, why don't we forget about the division stuff and just use regular season record? In other words, the Lions helping last year, the Vikings would have been aided by this rule, and the Packers would have been aided by this rule.
They want to reseed the playoffs.
They've suggested that. It will be under consideration.
I think it's a decent thing to talk about.
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of push for that to happen.
I don't think there's a big...
Right.
I think it's going to have a lot of momentum. Because
no, I don't
I think there's a lot of self-interest being served there. And I understand why they would bring it up, but I don't know that... If you do that... Sure, I think you have postseason balance and you might have, better tournament. I don't think the tournament is bad in the NFL playoffs. But I also think that you don't want to destroy the notion that divisions matter. and divisional play matters. And if you're going to do that, then the next step is, isn't it going to be, why would you have to play the Packers twice if you're the Bears? Why would you have to play each division divisional foe twice? I don't think you would. If the if the division no longer matters, who wins it,
right,
necessarily, if it doesn't help you.
Do you believe that there is self-interest there? So in other words, Detroit won the game against Minnesota at the end of the year. If they hadn't, they'd have been a fifth seed instead of being the top seed.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that mm-hmm. the other division. So for their own good, in case that was reversed on them.
They want to protect themselves from having to have that game matter as much as it did. And I think when you remove the divisional the motivation to win the division, and I think you affect it by doing this. Wouldn't mm-hmm. you agree with that?
Yeah.
Then I think that you affect a lot of things that may be unintended consequences. At first glance, I don't like that movement as much as I thought I might.
I understand why they'd want to do it, but I also understand why the league probably doesn't have the stomach to do it.
Because they don't want to diminish the value of divisional races.
And because you would devalue that. And,
totally.
And it would be a problem, and it would take away some of the inspiration for a team to finish. It wouldn't, if I win the division, I get this, mm-hmm. as opposed to, well, I've already blown the season, and what's the point of winning the division?
Yeah. I like a lot of things the league is discussing in the offseason about putting the chip and removing the chain gang and all of those things that help us get a cleaner game and a respected outcome, or more legitimate outcome. But I just don't think you need to tinker too much with things that aren't necessarily broken.
Right. It's always fun.
It's always fun
to hear what they're talking about and what they're thinking about. And who? Somebody, was it the Eagles? Somebody wants them also to run the regular season rules the way they run the postseason rules. That might
overtime
lead to,
is what you're speaking overtime. Of. And I think that's a very good idea.
I know you do, but that might lead to longer games, which is what the
more
league
football,
is trying
thank
to.
You.
Yeah, but will you have enough players able to play more and more?
The football? League probably won't like that because they want to add an 18th game.
And maybe increase the rosters to 60.
Okay.
Union will be all about jobs.
I mean, here's the problem, bud. I think that you're searching to fill out rosters as it is. I don't know that there are enough players to do that. I get what you're saying, and I get why
there's always enough players. You're thinking good players.
I'm saying, well, thank you. Good players.
Let's talk to Chelly.
We're going to bring in Chris Chelios next. We'll get a chance to chat with him. It's Mully and Hall on the Score.
Chris Chelios. Up the boards to Chelios with room. He shoots. Score!
BetMGM ambassador. The sportsbook born in Vegas.
Nice play by Chris Chelios.
Hockey Hall of Famer.
Chris Chelios is not human. I'm convinced of it. Not only will he go in the Hall of Fame, I think he should go in the Smithsonian.
Blackhawks legend.
Chelios will add defense, but he'll also add offense to the Hawks.
Steve Smith ahead to Murphy. Nichols at the line. Chelios moving in.
Three-time Stanley Cup champion.
What a competitor Chris Chelios has been over the years, and he's been a winner every place he's ever been.
Chris Chelios with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a joy to talk to Chris Chelios, and he's brought to you by BetMGM, the sports book born in Vegas. Please gamble responsibly. And he joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, new tires for spring, Aturo.com. Chris, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Doing well.
We're getting there, buddy. We're waiting for the NCAA tournament to begin. Always a great time of year. In the hockey dressing room, do people submit a bid, a bracket? Did you do that kind of thing, or is it too Canadian for college basketball?
No, quite honestly, I miss it. Ever since I retired, I haven't had a chance to participate in that. That was a big thing. Every year we'd have a luncheon, have the draft, and everybody choose their teams, and it was fun, lots of fun. It's nothing like March Madness.
So, Chelly, help us out. I've been saying that it seems like Connor Bedard, after getting two straight 10-minute misconducts, two games in a row, seems to be getting maybe targeted a little bit, or they're looking out for things. Is it more that, or is he just a guy that needs to maybe mind his business and keep to himself and not be kind of sassy to referees?
Yeah, I think it's obviously frustration with what's going on with the team. And, you know, he's had a few periods of time here, little droughts, but it happens. I watched that game the other night. They get off to such a good start. You know, the fight right off the faceoff, and Tanner gets that goal, Bertuzzi. And then second period, I don't know what happened. Seattle must have got the playbook, but they made him look really bad, left the goalie to hang out and dry. Kind of a step backwards, but again, it's just frustration, I think, with Connor. And again, I'm watching him, and he's trying to work on his defense. And when you do that, it takes a little bit away from your offense. So he'll figure it out. And now teams fighting for playoff spots, it's not going to get any easier here in the next month, these last few games that they have. So you just got to stick with it and try and improve. But again, it's been a frustrating year for him, I'm sure.
I got to tell you, I think that it's been really a frustrating year for him, and I think the Blackhawks need to help the kid, because the first 10-minute misconduct, that there was nothing really there. I watched a breakdown of the tape. Okay, he thought he got tripped and he said something, and I don't know what he said. But then watching the official skate over to talk to him, and he's like, yeah, okay. He didn't say any magic words or anything. Then they go and they give him the 10-minute. And it just felt like, what? Like, where did that come from? He wasn't cussing the guy at that point at all. And why would you give him that kind of a penalty? And it feels like, first it's the officials, first it's the commentators and ex-players that are going after him. Then the officials decide, well, we're going to shut this guy up, and two games running, they give him a misconduct. I mean, why aren't you getting thrown out of the game defending him, right? Why doesn't somebody speak up about it? I just feel like we're going to have to wait until they get the new coach in, and then you'll hopefully have someone that can either tell him, you say this, not that, or we'll go argue on his behalf. But it feels like, even if he's very frustrated, he's kind of hanging out to dry on his lonesome.
Yeah, the first one I didn't understand, but I never got along with referees anyway, so you can't figure out what they're thinking. But the fact that he's a young kid, I think the refs, especially if it's a veteran ref, they don't think that rookies or second-year guys should have any voice at all. So I think that played a pretty big part of it. But and they talk to referees, there's no question.
Right.
And they label guys and target guys. But right now, like I said, sometimes when it rains, it pours, and things aren't just going right. We talked about the help. He's got some guys coming. I love that Levchinov, I think he's adjusted really well, jumping in from the American League. He's going to be a big key to the success for the Hawks in the future. There's going to be some more guys coming up. Like I said, we got those first rounders that we've talked about over the past years that are going to soon be coming up. Oliver's coming up, I would think, after this year. So they're coming, and it's tough. You can shut down one line, teams, but if you get two solid lines, it'll free things up for Connor for sure.
I'd also like to see him draw more penalties. That's something missing from his game this year. But, Chelly, before we let you go, quickly, have you filled out a bracket? Do you have a Final Four?
No, I mean, I'm not with the staff anymore either, so I don't have anybody to do it with.
Will you watch today? Will you watch tomorrow? We have a party.
Yeah,
Wisconsin, yeah, right?
Yeah, I pull for Wisconsin. They've won me a lot of points and money in the last 20 years. I've always picked them, and I always picked Gonzaga for some reason because of their name, and then they became a pretty good team. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. I'm going to go watch the games this afternoon before I head over to the Hawks game.
Great stuff.
Great stuff, Chelly. Great talking to you. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Chris.
That's Chris Chelios. Always fun to talk to him.
Yeah.
We're going to bring in Bruce next. We're going to talk some baseball. We can talk some Cubs. Maybe he's got some insight into whatever's going on with the White Sox.
What's going on with the White Sox?
They have a lot of pitchers that they have not named who.
Can you name five?
I can.
Okay.
Because I just looked at it. But they got the Rule 5 kid having a pretty good
he likes him
outing
too.
Against right, we'll Baltimore yesterday.
That's good.
So, yeah. What's his name? Shane Smith?
Yep.
I'm paying attention.
Way to go.
How dare you?
Way to go.
Can you name them? Yes, I might be the only guy that can. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.